Tonight we're going to be having our water baptism, and we're going to be sharing a few things from the Word tonight concerning baptism. You know, out in Tulsa, at the Prayer Center, every January, Pastor Dave Roberson teaches on fasting because that's like a fasting month. And really, that's one of the best months of the entire year to fast. You know, after January 1st, just about everybody is fed up with eating, so to speak. You know, all the dinners and banquets for Christmas and this, that, and the other. And there's really not another holiday until you get into February, like Valentine's Day, what you might call a specific day that people might want to get together to eat or what have you. So January is a good month to fast, and therefore every January he teaches on fasting. Well, every January the folks at the prayer center know what they're in for. Well, here we're having baptism tonight, and so whenever we have baptism, I teach on baptism. Whenever we have communion, I teach on communion. It's just appropriate. And the Bible talks about faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, faith, understanding, clarity, and so forth, you know, they kind of fit together, I guess you would, when you continue to teach over certain things. The series that I had on water baptism, it was 3 tapes. It's now been expanded to 5 tapes. We've added 2 messages to that. And I don't know that this one will become the 6th tape or not. We'll just have to wait and see, you know, if the Lord wants it to. But water baptism is something that, it's funny how that a lot of people, there's confusion over this, and there really shouldn't be a lot of confusion over the concept of water baptism. Because when you go through the Word of God, remember we talked this morning, you know, sower sows the Word? When you go through the Word of God, the whole issue of water baptism, especially, you know, in the New Testament, it becomes clear. What messes it up is man. People are the ones that get in there and twist things around and make it something that it's not. And there shouldn't even be any question as to what the word baptize means. And it's amazing how many people, Christians now, wonder, well, does it have to be full immersion, or can it be sprinkling, or can you just hose them down, you know, with the garden hose? Or, I mean, what do you... Well, I heard a story one time about... This happened in New York. It was in an impoverished neighborhood, a small church. Well, I don't know how small, but the church, they didn't have a baptistry, and they wanted to baptize people, and they didn't know what to do. They just did not know where to go. So this is what they did. It's a true story. They made arrangements with the fire department, and all the people that wanted to be baptized lined up on the sidewalk, and they hooked up a hose to the fire hydrant, and they hosed the people down, and they controlled the power. That really happened in New York. And that was, they didn't know what else to do, so that's what they did. But nevertheless, the word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, and it means full immersion. There's just no other way around that. It's full immersion. It's not sprinkling. Although I'm sure that, you know, God still blessed, you know, the fire department, you know, hose down job, whatever. I'm sure God blessed that, but the word itself, when it comes to, well, do we do this or do we do that, it shouldn't be a question. Because the word baptized means full immersion. Now, there are still a lot of questions about it. You know, well, why do you still have to do it? I mean, you know, it seems to me like once you're born again, you're born again, and this baptism thing, it's just, you know, get you all wet, and doesn't seem like there's any relevance to it whatsoever. Well, let's take a look at some things in Scripture to find out if there is any relevance to it. Is it just something that is symbolic? Is it just something you do to... just because the preacher said you're supposed to do it, or is there something to it? Well, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now stop right there. Jesus was in Galilee. He went from Galilee to Jordan to find John to be baptized. In other words, Jesus made a specific effort to find John the Baptist. He left where he was to go to where John was to be baptized. Now, there's something happening here. Jesus did this. Now, when we talk about baptism and it being symbolic and this, that, and the other, if there is anybody in the whole wide world that you might think of that would never need to be baptized, wouldn't it be Jesus? I mean, wouldn't he just be the one that wouldn't need it? But he must have thought he needed it. And he leaves where he was and makes the trip to go find John just to be baptized. And it says You know, down here in verse 14, John kind of, you know, was hesitant to do this. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Wait a minute. John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Well, apparently John saw a need in this too. I have need to be baptized of thee. So, why, if it's just symbolic, why would you need it? If it's just something that you do, so it, like in some churches they give you a certificate when you've been baptized, it's incredible to me. There is a too far out in left field with this kind of a thing. There are some churches that will not let you join the church unless you can show them a certificate of baptism. I mean, that's... Anyway. I don't know, I guess the way I look at it is this. If you ask somebody, have you been baptized, and you explain to them full immersion, and you explain to them what baptism means, and they say, well, yeah, I've been baptized like that. They're either lying. They're lying to you, right? If somebody's going to lie about something like that, they got to be pretty bad. So anyhow, John said, I need this. Well, Jesus answered it. He said, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Now, when you break this first part of the 16th verse down, there's no way you can come up with anything other than full immersion. No way. It is full immersion. So when you talk about sprinkling or whatever, or full immersion, the very fact that Jesus did this and it was full immersion, it should settle it for us, should it not? And it's strange though, but it doesn't for some people. Well, Jesus came up out of the water and says the heavens were opened unto him, John, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, here we have an example of Jesus being baptized, and where it talks about fulfilling all righteousness and where, you know, God spoke forth and said, this is my Son and all that. We're not going to get into all of that. We've covered that on the other tapes. However, what I want to point out in this, right at this point, Jesus saw the need to be baptized. Therefore, it's got to be more than just a simple, symbolic kind of a thing that you do to have a good time and to say that you did it. And John said, I need this from you. I need you to do this to me. So John saw a need for this. All right, now turn over to Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, this is the same John that baptized him, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Well, where he says the time is fulfilled, he's talking about the time in which the law governed essentially the Jewish nation. The time of the law is fulfilled and now the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, since the law was fulfilled, there was no reason for Jesus to keep preaching the law. So what he does, as it tells you right there in the 14th verse, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, what we've always associated the gospel with is simply this. Ye must be born again. And so, when somebody talks about preaching the gospel, one of the first things that flashes through our minds is, oh, you're telling people they need to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I mean, that's the gospel. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Maybe that's a part of it. Now, we're not going to go really deep into that other than to say this. Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, when you go through and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many times did Jesus specifically talk about you must be born again? One time. John chapter 3. Now, he alluded to it and did not use those terms in other places where he taught, but you need to understand what he taught was a whole lot more than just you must be born again. He was teaching kingdom principles. And when you preach the kingdom or the gospel of the kingdom of God, it's more than just ye must be born again. That's a part of it. That's a part of, that's how you get into the kingdom. Now Jesus, it tells us here in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now turn over to Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." Well, who's preaching the kingdom of God? Well, there's only one person qualified to do that. We just read who that was over there in Mark. Jesus is the one who is preaching the kingdom of God, or another way to put that would be the gospel of the kingdom of God. So now here's the scenario, what we have to this point. Jesus goes from Galilee over here to Jordan, and he finds John, and he says, "John, I need you to baptize me." John says, "Whoa, wait a minute. I need you to baptize me." Jesus said, "Well, John, look, this has got to be done to fulfill all righteousness." John said, "Okay, I'll do it." You know, isn't it interesting how that when Jesus made that statement, this needs to be done to fulfill all righteousness, John didn't ask him what he meant. He just did it. He said, "Okay." John baptizes him. Jesus comes out of the water. The voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." From there, Jesus goes about and he starts preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He's not preaching and teaching the law. He's preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now turn over to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, look at verses 1 and 2. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and," what? "Baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, says he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." Now look at this. Jesus is going about his ministry. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But it says that he made and baptized more disciples than John. Now, if Jesus is going around preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and in the process of doing that, he has his disciples baptize people, don't you think there's a connection somewhere between the gospel of the kingdom and water baptism? There has to be. Because if this whole concept of baptism was only associated with the law and had nothing to do with the kingdom of God, there would have been no baptism. Because Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. Until John, you had the law and the prophets. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached unto you." Now we turn around and we see that Jesus is, if you will, giving his blessings, and these guys wouldn't have done that if he hadn't instructed them to. You need to understand that. They would not, Jesus would not, I mean, it says here that he's the one making the disciples and doing the baptizing. But then in parentheses it says, but Jesus wasn't the one actually doing the baptizing, the disciples were. If it says that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, but the disciples were the ones that were doing the baptizing, then what it means is this. Jesus said, "Fellas, I need you to do this for me, and here's what I want you to do. Baptize." So they're there in the water, and they're baptizing in the name of Jesus. "I baptize you in the name of Jesus," or "I baptize you as a representative of Jesus Christ." See? He's given that instruction for them to do that. Just like where it talks about the time that all the thousands were fed, you know, the loaves and the fish. Jesus wasn't the one that actually fed the people. He blessed the food, and then the apostles went around actually handing the food out. Jesus didn't do that. Well, this is a similar kind of situation where Jesus, if you will, has blessed what they're doing, and they're the ones actually going through the work. But it says here that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John. So Jesus has made this an instruction in the teaching that he's giving to them as it's related to the kingdom of God. Now turn over to Matthew 28. So we know that this is going on in the ministry of Jesus in conjunction with him preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. Well, by the time we get to Matthew chapter 28, here's what's happened. Jesus has been arrested. He's been beaten. He's been crucified. He's been laid in the tomb. And he's resurrected. And not only has he resurrected, but he is appearing unto different people and he's speaking and ministering to different people. And this, what we're going to read is just like shortly right there at the time before his ascension back to the Father. And if you look here in verse 18, Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them or instructing them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So before Jesus ascends back to the Father, he says, "Guys, this is what I need you to do. I'm getting ready to leave. But some of my parting words to you, parting instructions are this. Just like I made you disciples, I want you to pick this mantle up and go forward. I want you to make disciples of all people. I want you to preach the gospel of the kingdom. But not only that, I want you to continue doing what I had you doing while I was with you, and that is baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And teaching them to observe or obey all the things that I have commanded you." So what this is telling us is, among all of the things that Jesus ever taught, one of the things that he instructed had to do with water baptism. And so he's making this statement to them. Now, isn't it interesting that just in what we see recorded right here, he's telling them, in essence, go out there and tell people about me so they get born again. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then put them through school. Teach them the things of the kingdom of God. Notice he did not say, "Go ye therefore, lay hands on the sick so that they recover." Now that is recorded someplace else. But do you see the emphasis here? Is lead people to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, baptize them, and then teach them. Teach them what it means to be a Christian. Teach them what the born-again life is all about. So number one, we lead people to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Number two, what are we supposed to do? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Number three, what do we do then? Put them in Sunday school. You know, to kind of shorten it. Sunday school or Bible college. Or you put them in somehow, you begin instructing them on how to grow spiritually. Which is things we see over there that Paul wrote, for example, things that Peter wrote. So Jesus says, tell them about me, tell them about being born again, then baptize them, then teach them, lead them to grow spiritually. Now turn over to Acts chapter 2. Now quite frankly, you know, as I've said before, when it comes to baptism, what we read there in Matthew chapter 28 should be all we need. You should need nothing else other than the fact that before Jesus, and after his resurrection and before his ascension, Jesus gave the instruction for people to be baptized. Even if we don't understand what it means, even if we don't grasp the fullness of what it represents and how it can impact our lives, even if we don't know those things, the bottom line is, Jesus said, do it. And because Jesus said do it, that should settle the issue. Well, as you and I both know, it doesn't. And there are still a lot of people who question this. Well, I know that's what it says, but, you know, I'm just not so sure. Well, wait a minute. Jesus said, do it. So I don't understand why you have a problem with being baptized in water. Well, I was baptized when I was a little girl. You know, they took me up, and they've got pictures of me when he sprinkled me on the head and all that. I don't know why I need this. What did Jesus say? Well, I see what it says. Had you accepted Jesus Christ at the time that they did that to you? Well, no, it wasn't until later on. All right, then you're out of order. Jesus said, lead them to be born again, then baptize them, then teach them. So, therefore, you need to be baptized. Well, bless God, I spent $115 on this hairdo, and if you think I'm going to mess it up, just... Jesus gave these instructions. Now, did they carry it out? Did it mean anything to them? Well, in Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, people come around and they hear Peter stand up and preach. And as he's ministering to them, it says in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent, be baptized, all of you. All of you. Now here's something that's interesting. We don't know for sure, but we have to face the real possibility that some of these people that heard Peter preach that day might have already been baptized. Say, when? Well, back when John was baptizing at Jordan and when Jesus had the disciples do the baptizing. It's possible. You say, well, no, Brother Martin, if they'd have been baptized then, they wouldn't have needed it again. Were they born again at that time? When Jesus had them baptized, were they born again? When John was baptizing, were they born again? And not only that, as you go through and you read the Gospels, you're going to find that many of his disciples left him, especially over there in John, where he starts preaching and teaching about, you know, eating my flesh and drinking my blood. A bunch of them said, we can't handle this. And they left him. They turned their backs on him and left. And Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, you guys going to go too? And Peter says, well, where would we go? You have the words of life. So it's possible that some of these people hearing this had already been baptized. Problem was, they weren't born again at the time. Now they have the opportunity to be born again. And Peter says, they want to know, what do we do, Peter? What do we do? Peter says, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. So look over now in this, in Acts, look over in chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 5, it says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard because of that long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Both men and women. Now it says here in verse 5 that Philip went to Samaria and he preached Christ to them. So he's preaching Christ, but somehow in the middle of preaching Christ, he has explained to them they need to be baptized. Because it tells us down here in verse 12, they believed Philip when he was preaching concerning the kingdom of God, concerning the kingdom of God. Well, what was it Jesus was preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. He was preaching the kingdom of God. And what did that gospel include? Well, it had to have included some teaching on baptism because of what we've seen so far in Scripture. And then he gave the commandment to the disciples. He says, you guys go out and pick up where I left off and keep doing the things that I did. And so here's Philip doing this. And Philip, he's ministering. He's preaching Jesus. He's preaching the kingdom. The people believed what Philip was preaching. And it says here that they were baptized. They accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they were baptized, men and women. So there was something about the preaching of Philip as he delivered the message of the gospel of the kingdom that included a powerful emphasis on baptism, and that these people wanted it, and they did it. Well, this story with Philip continues. If you look over in verse 26, it says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet." Now, keep in mind, he went to Jerusalem to worship, okay? And he's sitting in his chariot, and he's reading Isaiah the prophet. Well, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, now remember, this Ethiopian is not a Jew, but he went to Jerusalem to worship. And he's reading Isaiah. You know what my imaginative mind comes up with? How did this non-Jew get Isaiah? Hey, they didn't have printing presses back then. He had a handwritten copy. He got it somewhere. Somehow, he had gotten a copy, at least of a section, of what Isaiah had written. Well, I don't know how he got it, but he got it. And he's reading it. And it says that Philip said, "You understand what you're reading?" And a man said, verse 31, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Sounds to me like the Ethiopian needed this morning's sermon. Anyway, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He preaches unto him Jesus. He starts with Isaiah and preaches unto him Jesus. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now stop right here. First off, the Ethiopian went to Jerusalem to worship. Not Jesus, but he went to worship God. You say, well, how do you know he went to worship God? If he was worshiping some other god, he wouldn't have been reading Isaiah. He went to worship God. How he came to understand Jehovah, we don't know. How he got his hands on a copy of Isaiah, we don't know. But he had it, and he made the trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. He's on his way home, and here's this guy Philip. And the Ethiopian has taken a break. Now remember, he's not born again. But he's reading this. And he says, and Philip says, "Do you understand?" He says, "Well, I don't have a clue. Can you help me?" Philip said, "Well, what part are you at right there?" And the Ethiopian said, "Well, this part right here about the sheep, the lamb, and all that." And Philip said, "Okay, I'll start right there." And he starts in Isaiah. He preaches Jesus. And look what happens. "They come to water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He doesn't say, "What doth hinder me to be born again?" He doesn't say, "What doth hinder me to be filled with the Holy Spirit?" He does not say, "What doth hinder me to go to heaven?" He says, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So somewhere between Isaiah and this pond of water, Philip has been preaching Jesus, but there has been such a heavy emphasis on, "You need to be baptized, buddy," that the first time they see water, the eunuch says, "Stop! Whoa! Look! There's water right there, Philip. What's stopping me from being baptized? Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. Now stop. Philip doesn't tell him what to believe now, does he? He just says, if you believe with all your heart, then yes, you can be baptized. The eunuch says, he answers him and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip says, okay, we'll stop this chariot, get out. It says they went both into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now it sounds to me like this eunuch took this rather seriously. Now, if that's what's being preached to this point, why in the world do we have confusion about it here in the body of Christ today? Why is there any question that you need to do it? That you need to do this? Will I go to hell if I don't? No, you won't go to hell if you don't. Because if they had never seen water, it's possible that eunuch might not have gotten baptized that day. Baptism does not cause you to be born again. However, it is something that is expected of a Christian after the Christian is born again. And just go back and take a look at the scriptures that we've already seen so far. Jesus himself taught this as a part of the kingdom. He had the disciples practice it. And then after his resurrection, he told them, do it. You do it from this point. Keep it going. And so we here have this example of what happened twice now with Philip and his preaching. Now look in chapter 9. Paul is on the road to Damascus. He's trying to hunt down all these false God worshiping people that call themselves Jesus believers and all that. You know, he's persecuting, he's arresting, he's having people thrown in prison and so forth. And you know the story, the bright light, the Lord speaks to him and he says, hey Paul, man, this isn't right. Paul says, who is it? The voice says, it's me, Jesus. Paul says, uh-oh. I'm in trouble. Well, Paul gets his act together. Now look in verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for me, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen a vision, in a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. That he might receive his sight. Ananias coming into him that he might receive his sight. Ananias coming into him that he might receive his sight. He's had a vision. Paul has had a vision. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now stop right there. On planet Earth, Ananias was the first person to know what Paul's ministry was. He knew it before Paul. Well, probably about the same time. I mean, Paul did have an interesting conversation with Jesus in that light, did he not? But Ananias knew before anybody else. Ananias knew. And he says, I will show him great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and what? Wait a minute. There's nothing in here about baptism. At least, not that we read. Something was said about baptism. Had to have been. Why would he do it? Why would Saul have done that if something hadn't been said about being baptized? And so here's Paul. He's baptized. So he's come to an understanding of what baptism is about. There's something to it. There's something to this. And it's a funny thing, Paul didn't put up much of an objection to this. Now, what we see in Scripture is this. It happened before Jesus was crucified. And Jesus gave instructions for it to be done because the disciples were carrying it out. He gave his blessings to it. Then after he was raised from the dead, before he went unto the Father, he gave a commandment. This needs to be done. Do it. After he gave that command and ascended unto the Father, we see the disciples doing what he told them to do. And we see people being baptized in here. But what we don't see is any teaching about baptism. We see them doing it, but we don't see long teachings about being baptized. We don't see, you know, 5, 6, 8, 10 verses about baptism, but we see them doing that. We see them going in, preaching Jesus, preaching the kingdom, preaching the gospel, and then the people, not only are they born again, but they're getting baptized as well. So that should tell us, when it comes to presenting the gospel, if we're not also presenting water baptism as a commandment of Jesus. You say, oh, Brother Martin, I don't think it's a commandment of Jesus. Well, what did Jesus say over there in Matthew 28? What's in there? What's in the Word? All right, let's take our traditions now and hang them on the rack in a meat locker with all the rest of the dead meat. And let's go back into the Word. What does the Word say? Jesus commanded it. You say, well, you mean if I don't do it, in spite of the fact that He commanded it, then that must mean that I'm disobedient. If I'm disobedient, then I'm a sinner. If I'm a sinner, then I go to hell. No, no, no. He commanded it to be done. But let me ask you a question. Don't you think it's possible that God already knows there are places on planet Earth where there's no water? Don't you think it's possible that God knows that there are situations whereby it would be next to impossible for somebody to get baptized? Well, sure He knows that. Especially when He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, He had to know He was telling them to go into places where there wouldn't be much water. You say, well, then what happens? I mean, if they go into a place where there's no water and they preach the gospel and these people get born again, what are they supposed to do? I'll tell you what they're supposed to do that I don't know how much is being taught. What they're supposed to do is believe God for the opportunity to be baptized. God, we've had drought for 12 years. We don't know how You're going to do it. But we see in the Word we need to be baptized. So, Father, please work it out somehow that we can be baptized. Please, Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a feeling that is one prayer that's going to be answered. I don't know if some guy come by on a big truck with a big tank of water and people get baptized. I don't know. But if we diminish this commandment, then how can we say that we are fully preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God? Well, see, we can't. You say, well, yeah, but again, Brother Martin, it's got to be just symbolic. Well, now, let's talk about the symbolism just briefly. I mean real briefly. Yes, there is symbolism involved. And we cover a lot of that on the other tapes that we've taught on baptism. So yeah, there is symbolism associated with it. But I'm telling you now, there's something that happens when a person is baptized in water. See, it's one thing to just tell people to do it. Okay? But what we see in the New Testament is that these people weren't just told to do it. They were taught about it. Even though the teaching itself isn't recorded in Scripture, there was teaching about it because these people wanted to have it done. These people were looking, and the best example of that is the one with the eunuch. I mean, this guy's trying to get back home. He's got a long trip in front of him. And he says, whoa, wait a minute. There's water. Let's get this. Let's do this. Philip says, well, if you believe. He says, man, I believe. He says, all right, whoa, trigger. And they go down and they get baptized. He baptizes him. So for us then to turn around and say, well, you know, it's not all that important. It's not really emphasized in the New Testament. That's wrong. It is heavily emphasized in the New Testament. And if we read the passages like what we've read right now, if we just read these things, that we can understand that yes, there was a heavy emphasis on water baptism. We just don't see it written down what they said about it. But we see the results. Now when it comes to water baptism, you know, I have shared with you many times about the testimonies that I've heard concerning water baptism. How that people have gone into the water with addictions, and you can, whatever you want to put in there, addiction, okay? You just put a whole lot of stuff under that category. People have gone in with addictions. People have gone in with emotional problems. And that's another big category of all kinds of stuff. I mean, it could be confusion, it could be a lot of fear, it could be whatever, right? Just things in, attacking in the area of their emotions. Physical problems, something wrong with their body. They've gone into the water with those things, but when they came up out of the water, those things were gone. Just like that, instantly. The testimonies of people who were had maybe for years been seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but for whatever reason, a mental, remember the word we got from the Lord at the beginning of the service? It's a mental thing, what it is, in the area of the soul. There was something there, it was like a hindrance. They go into the water with the hindrance, come up out of the water speaking in tongues, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you can believe that it's only symbolic if you want, but I am firmly convinced that when people understand what baptism is all about, they can go into the water with a lot of baggage, but when they come up out of the water, that baggage has drowned, just like the Egyptians in the Red Sea. Never again to be seen.
Amen.
And one more thing I'll throw out in this. Remember over there in John, where it says that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John? Remember that? If you go through, and we're not going to do it here at this point, but if you go back through and read these things, when Jesus made the statement, he said, if you hear my words and do them, then are you my disciple. My disciples indeed. That word disciple means disciplined follower. Therefore, as he's preaching the kingdom, making a baptizing disciple, as he's preaching this, there is a direct connection between water baptism and a commitment to be a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. A direct connection. And people who refuse to be baptized, you can say what you want, but let's go back to the Word and find out. And according to the Word, you cannot be truly a completely disciplined follower of Jesus Christ if you do not seek to be baptized in water. And again, you live in a place where there is no water? Well, God understands that. If the attitude of your heart is, boy, if I was like that Ethiopian and we could find a pond of water, bless God, I'd get baptized. God can work with that. But we're talking about people that don't want to. I don't think that's necessary. God knows I love Him. God knows I'll do whatever He says. He said in the Bible, get baptized. Well, I'll do everything but that. Then you are not a fully disciplined follower. Can miracles take place in water? Absolutely. Absolutely, miracles can take place as a result of water baptism. But the key is understanding what this baptism is about and understanding the fact that it is something that's been commanded of God. Now, here we have a situation, you know, in this church. Now, we have the water, baptistry, it's all full. And the opportunity is here for people to be baptized. Now, many of you have already been baptized. You've heard teaching about it in the past and so forth, and so we've baptized you. But now this teaching has gone forth. Now let's say you're not prepared to be baptized tonight. Let's say that maybe you didn't even understand things like you do even after tonight's service, let alone hearing any of the other messages. My question to you would be, if you've never been baptized, or if before, you know, you just went through the motions because somebody told you you needed to, but now you understand more about what it's about, and if you want to go even further, get that tape set and listen to it. What is it about water baptism that you don't want to do? What is it about it that you say, that's reprehensible? Oh, I don't need that. Okay, now, whatever reasons you can come up with, my next question to you would be, what is it from the Word that you have used as the foundation to substantiate those opinions? What have you found in Scripture to support what you're believing or to support your refusal to be baptized? What is it in the Bible that you have? With all due respect, you have nothing in Scripture. Because the Bible says, do it. Now get this. If Jesus Christ gave that commandment and that instruction, it has to be more than just symbolism. There's got to be something to it. It has to be more than just an outward act. There's got to be something that's going on. Is it possible that a person who has the opportunity to be baptized but refuses to, for whatever reason, is it possible that they have built a barrier in their lives between themselves and things that God would want to bring to pass in their lives? Is it possible? Personally, I believe it is. I believe that when we have an instruction of grace to be baptized, and then we turn around and we say, no, even after we understand about it, and we still say, no, I don't need it. It happened when I was a little kid, or it was this way, and we just keep saying no. I personally believe that we are rebelling against that instruction that the Lord has given to us. When we do that, we then are building that barrier. If you've never been baptized and you've been kind of against it, or you haven't felt like you needed to, then I would challenge you tonight to think about this, to rethink your position, and to be sure that what you're feeling is okay in the eyes of God, and that God is giving His blessings to your refusing to be baptized. And then let's say that after you've thought about this and prayed about it, you decide, boy, you know what? That's right. I mean, I really need to do this. No problem. We'll fill the tank again and we'll have another baptism. It's not a problem. But I can tell you this. There is something special about water baptism when you begin to understand what it's about. And just the fact that Jesus said, do it. It should make you feel so good to be able to do something that the Lord has said to do. I mean, you should consider it an honor to be able to be baptized. Jesus, you said this is something that we needed to do. I'm going to do it, Jesus, because I love you. And I want to do everything that you want me to do. So here I go, Jesus. Splash, splash, splash. Just tell him not to hold me down too long. Praise God.